Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message. We've been learning from God's Word on God's Word. This month the theme is God's Word. And last Sunday we started with Jesus saying, you must be born again. And we looked at clarifying some of those concepts. Did it help you last Sunday when we learned about being born again? Really? So today we want to look at another topic. Let's look at John chapter 3 verse 5. Let's read. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, to be born again also has physical procedures involved. To be born of the water and born of the Spirit, which means to be baptized in the water and baptized of the Spirit. And so baptism in the water is not a Christian thing at all. Baptism in the water has been adopted by churches as a Christian thing, but it's really not a Christian thing. It's a God's thing, which those who want to follow God must do. Baptism is God's idea. God is the one who came up with the idea of baptism. In fact, baptism is not there in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, the word baptism is not there. That whole concept is not there. Baptism is not there in the Bible, in the Old Testament. The baptism comes only in the New Testament. John chapter 1, and the Bible says in verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to baptize in water. So God started the concept of baptism through the cousin brother of Jesus. His name was John. He was a prophet. He was older than Jesus by a few months, so it seems. And his mother's name was Elizabeth. All that not important. But point is, this guy was in the River Jordan baptizing people. River Jordan. Making sense to anybody? What is Jordan famous for? Not only for Jesus' baptism. Jordan is famous because when Israel left Egypt and crossed Red Sea, got into the desert, 40 years later, they crossed Jordan River. A miracle happened. Jordan split into two. They crossed over Jordan, entered the promised land. So in the same Jordan River, God said, this time I'm going to have people cross the river, but I will not divide the river into two. Let them cross the river through the river, and they are going to enter the spiritual promised land. So Jesus came into River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, who was baptizing there. Jesus chose to be baptized. Interesting. Jesus Christ chose everything, including when he would be born, where would he be born. Nobody here could choose that part. Hello, you discovered yourself later, no? Nobody here could choose when you will be born, where you will be born, how you will be born. If you and I could choose where we will be born, I don't think we would have been born on time. We'll be thinking where to be born, what color of skin to have, which family to be born, what passport is better, what nationality is better. I think thinking all that only, on-time delivery won't happen. Some would say, I don't want to be born now. So that's one thing we don't know, how it happened. You know, it just happened. We were born. It's a mystery before that. So Jesus Christ is the only one who, through the prophets, told, I will be born at such and such a time, in such and such a family, in such and such a place. He chose to be born. And then he chose to be baptized in River Jordan. He came to John the Baptist to be baptized. Not because he had any sin to repent of. Jesus Christ had no sin from which he had to repent, or remission of sin was not required for him. Then why did he get baptized? He got baptized because he wanted, number one, to be an example for others. In Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, the Bible says, Jesus said, we need to fulfill the righteousness of God. When you study the Bible, there are two kinds of righteousness. One is the righteousness which is a gift of God. In the Catholic Church, the Pope calls people a saint after they die. First, they should die. If somebody has to be called a saint by the Pope to be canonized, one, you have to die. Second, there has to be miracles that happen in your name. Third, those miracles have to reach the Vatican, where they'll verify it. And then if everything falls in place, he will canonize and say, okay, so-and-so is a saint. Mother Teresa became a saint. She's Saint Teresa. No, Saint Mother Teresa. So like that. But for us, God says, you don't have to die. The minute you're born again, I call you a saint. It's called the gift of righteousness. The moment you're born again, God calls you a saint. God, am I saint? But I'm sinning, Lord. Correct, I know. You are a saint who is sinning. Earlier, you were a sinner who used to do some saintly things. Now, you are a saint who is doing some sinful things. There is a change to your title. Earlier, you were a non-vegetarian eating some vegetarian things. Now, you become a strict vegetarian who accidentally eats some non-vegetarian things. But generally, you are a vegetarian. Earlier, you were a single, never thought of any lady. Now you are married, occasionally forgetting you are married, but you are married. Now you are a saint who accidentally makes mistakes, but you are a bona fide saint because the minute you were born again, God says, I take your faith and give you a gift of righteousness, not by your works, not karma, but by relationship. You are a saint. I went to the coat suit shop. Gave money. They gave me a suit. They didn't give me milk. They didn't give me a table. Because they are not stationery shop. They are not furniture shop. They are suit shop. So they give suit. God is a holy God. When I go and give him my faith, He gives back righteousness. Gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. That's a holy transaction. Now there is a second kind of righteousness. It's called the righteousness for which you work. Okay? It's called the actions of righteousness. Jesus Christ our Lord is standing at the river of Jordan to be baptized. And John the Baptist is standing there in the water, who is supposed to baptize, saying, no, 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 you don't be baptized. You talk of opposition to baptism. The priest who is supposed to baptize is a prophet, and he's saying, don't be baptized. Jesus faced maximum tension. He's going to be baptized. It's not only the synagogue and the Pharisees that are saying not to be baptized. The fellow who is supposed to baptize is only saying, don't be baptized. Standing in the water saying, don't, no, 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 you don't be baptized. Jesus said, keep quiet. Didn't say keep quiet, but said, allow me to be baptized because I have to fulfill the righteousness of God. Jesus was saying, the Father who sent you is the Father who sent me and told me to be baptized. So I want to obey and fulfill, do the righteousness. Belief must have a behavior. Conviction must have a character. Faith must have its fruit. We must learn to simply obey God because God said it. Amen. Right after Jesus was baptized, he was immersed in the water. Now, I tell you one thing. Many people say things like, as a child, I'm already baptized or whatever, christened. Or, you know, nobody got christening like Jesus. Jesus' christening was circumcision christening. Greater than every baptism of a child. And he did it according to the Old Testament. And when they came out, again, there was a rededication according to the New Testament. When you read Luke chapter 2, two times Jesus was dedicated as a baby. But still, he went and got baptized. Why? Because baptism is different from child dedication or christening or whatever that is. Baptism is what Jesus did when he got immersed in the water. He went, actually when I used to read Matthew chapter 3, I have thought to myself, why Bible is so descriptive that Jesus went into the water, under the water, came up out of the water. I used to think, why? You can just say, no, Jesus was baptized. That's enough. But then as I was growing and started doing Bible studies and people started asking me questions, then I understood why God put so many details. Because people are baptizing with bucket baptism. There are sprinkling baptism. Somebody holds a flag and you walk under it, it's baptism. Whew. That's why Jesus did dramatics to show how to be baptized. Go into the water, go under the water, most important, come out of the water. Immersion baptism is the, see, don't get confused. Best thing is follow Jesus. How he got baptized, get baptized like that. No confusion. Amen. And as he was coming, or the Bible says, as he was coming up out of the water, he was praying and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the evil and to overcome. In fact, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 22 onwards, that there was a time when Jesus Christ and his disciples started baptizing others. The Lord Jesus and his disciples in the same river of Jordan. Some people went and told John, John, Anna, that fellow you baptized, no, Jesus, he is baptizing people at the other side of the same river. And you know what? This is called, the nice word for them is journalism, but actual fact is gossipers. They went and told, you know, giving chavi, Jesus is baptizing your small church, mega church there. They wanted to make John like a Pentecostal pastor full of bitterness. Already man is living on locust and honey. He doesn't eat biryani or noodles or salad or Chinese. Then okay, some joy in life. You eat locust all your life. And for dipping you get honey. And on top of that you hear these things. No wonder he looked at people and said, you sons of scorpions and serpents, who told you to escape from the coming wrath? This eating, this, what else you will preach? But look at John. The minute people went and told him like that and tried to manipulate his feelings, you know what John said? Jesus is baptizing and his disciples are baptizing. There's a bigger crowd there. Wow. He must increase. I must decrease. Wow. And he went on to say, John the Baptist went on to say, he is the bridegroom. I am just the bridegroom's friend. Surely the attention should be on him. In fact, the Lord Jesus started baptizing people through his disciples also to tell John that, John, your time's up. You came for something, your time's up. And now I'm taking over because salvation has to come to the people. And we know the story that a little later from then, John the prophet was beheaded by the Roman government. And Jesus, our Lord, continued that ministry. So it's really a matter of obedience. Obey God. God said, be baptized. Finished. Be baptized. Near my house, one and a half months ago, a few Hindu people, they was having one full day bhajan and heavy noise. You know, one tune was going on. And very loud it was. Pentecostals should learn how to pray. They were making a lot of noise and this was going on for, I think, more than a day. I think it was 2 days, regularly. Continuously, non-stop, hours together. And then I discovered they were going to Shabarimala. So they package the whole thing, keep it on their head, you know, no shoes, only black dress. And they have a rhythm. Okay, they sing and they go. Hey, why don't you change the color? Yeah, so many years, black only. No, why don't you? No, our culture, we follow. Why keep on the head? Wear a handbag, no, just for a change. No, our culture. Muslims, five times, they have to pray every day. Change it, no, from New Year, make it 4 times. No, our culture, this is what we will do. Only Christians. Gotcha, gotcha. Pagla, negotiate, we'll see what to do. You see, Everybody respects whatever God said they want to obey. Only Christian people, they want democracy. I tell you, God said it, just obey it. Don't go to argue, debate, discuss, confuse. God said, obey. It is important that we learn to obey. Acts chapter 2, Jesus said, Apostle Peter, oh, day of Pentecost, man, fire, fire day. Acts chapter 2 is fire day. Verse 38 is what I want to talk from. But in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Pentecost means 50th day. 50th day from the reference point, which was a celebration. So they were all come together and they were praying, and the Holy Spirit came on them. And the sign of the Holy Spirit was fire came upon them. And I see some people, I don't know whether watermelon came or cold cucumber came, but I tell you, the way you pray, it should be the sign of fire came on you. You and I are not penguins from Antarctica. You and I are firebrand, anointed children of God. Anyway, fire came and sat upon them. And people came, big crowd came around. They were in the upper room, first floor of Mark House. 120 of them. Big crowd came around to see what this 120 are speaking. They were speaking in tongues. Maybe next Sunday I'll deal with this. They were speaking in tongues and they were, you know, just worshiping God, praising God. The big crowd came around them. And they asked, what is going on here, yeah? Must be a rave party. Then Peter got up and said, we are not drug addicts or drunk, as some of you think. And the reasoning he gave us, look at the time. This is not the time to drink, in case you think we are drunk. He said, this is the Holy Spirit. And he preached one firebrand sermon in which he said, repent and be baptized and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2 verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized for the remission, forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. So at least two things happen during baptism. One is forgiveness of sins, and the other is your life becomes more open to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where people have doubts. There are people who have told me, I'll not get baptized, Pastor. First, I want to have total self-control, because after baptism, I cannot sin. So if I'll finish everything, then I'll get baptized. Heavy planning. So this is all wrong thinking. Don't come up with such plan. So whatever, Pastor, after I get baptized, if I sin, what to do? Everyone who gets baptized does sin. There is no one after baptism that didn't sin. Baptism is like marriage. When two people get married, means male and female, what all we have to clarify in today's world. Gone are the days where you could preach an innocent message. The boy and girl, they come for marriage and we make them hold their hands and they say, you know, in good and bad, in riches and poverty, I'll be with you until death do us part, all that. They make the promise, they go out. Don't they have quarrel? Don't they have disagreements? Many houses they fight. There is one wrong thinking that you, every house there is fight. Now that's wrong. Every house there is no fight. It is just a way of rationalizing your wrong lifestyle. Every house there is no fight. There are beautiful marriages without fight. In my house there is no fight. It is actually a problem. One day, me and my wife were talking to each other a little loudly in the car because of traffic, and we got so engrossed. We're talking something many years ago. We were in front of Esteem Mall. We were coming to church. So, you know, before reaching church, we wanted to conclude this topic. So she said something, I said something, and our volume went up. We were so caught up in the moment. And our children are saying, no fighting. We both, they were sitting at the back, we both burst into laughter because our children have not seen fight in the house. So a decent discussion which became emotional, they thought was family fight. Then we had to tell them, this is not how family, then they are like, then how it is? So now how we can show you? We can't show you. But no, this was fight. Boss, this is not fight. We're talking about somebody else, something else, which has nothing to do with us. It's just that And my wife also was saying, can't talk in front of these fellows. They'll interpret everything into fight and God knows where they'll go say what. Children, no, we can't say anything. At that time, now they are very matured. But anyway, now just in case, so any family thinks that fighting is normal, no, it's not normal, okay? It may be normal for you, but it's not normal in every house. You can have a beautiful marriage. It's just that you learn how to handle it. After my marriage, initial days of marriage, we used to have severe problems with each other because her personality is so different from mine. And so we, of course, we didn't shout and quarrel and beat and all that. That and all would not happen, but still we didn't like each other. Then we prayed about it. We began to work on our marriage. We began to change the way we talk and the way we handle things. Very much hard work. But it paid off. Good results. After the first few months, close to a year, marriage became beautiful. So it's not necessary that every marriage, oh, there will be problem. No, that's all bunkum. It's nonsense. You can have beautiful marriages, you know. It's just that you have to be committed to handling it right. In our church, there is one family. I was doing marriage course and I found out this particular family never had a quarrel, never had an argument, never raised their voice, never were upset with each other for more than 30 plus years. I conducted two of their children's marriage. I couldn't believe their story. I said, impossible. You can't be more righteous than your pastor. Come on. No. I have disliked my wife for many things, many times, and been upset. You can't say you never been upset with your wife. He said, no. Then I went to their house. It was wrong on my part, but I went to their house. I spoke to the children separately. I said, your parents told like this, you tell the truth. There are few families I have met that never had unwanted talks, never had upset situations. They would sit down, resolve things in a peaceful way, never had a night going to sleep with being upset with each other. Hats off to such families. You can have a heavenly experience in marriage. Anyway, that's not the topic. Topic is, in marriage, oh, so if I have problem in my marriage, that means I didn't marry the right person. No, it means you married the right person, but you're not handling it right. Handle it correctly. Don't change the person. That's not mobile phone. Vehicle, mobile phone, your dress, socks, everything you can change. Marriage, once for a lifetime. Not once at a time, for a lifetime. At a time also is correct only, but for a lifetime. Anyway, if two people get married in the church, they go out and have an argument. Oh no, we had an argument. Our marriage is gone. Come, let's go get married again. Required? No. Once you got married, it is permanent. You only have to correct your married life and validate your marriage. Similarly, once you are baptized, your sin does not cancel out your marriage. It doesn't cancel out your baptism. Baptism is marriage with Christ the bridegroom. It's an engagement with Christ the bridegroom. It doesn't cancel out that with Christ. Your baptism remains solid. All you have to do is in future, try and overcome that through repentance and live a righteous life, because your baptism is like marriage. It's once and it's valid and it doesn't get canceled out. I hope you're following this. This is very important. Amen. The immersion in water, baptism, was never intended to be the full or final solution to the problem of sin. It was designed to clean us from the past sin and to protect us into walking in a lifestyle that is clean before God. Because salvation really is a process of a lifetime. There are three words I want to leave with you. It might sound Sanskrit, but don't worry. Justification, sanctification, and glorification. These are three words. Let's say that together. Justification, sanctification. Try to say it repeatedly. It'll help you speaking in tongues next Sunday. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Okay? These three words are important to understand salvation. Sanctification, glorification. The first one is justification. Justification means freedom from the curse, penalty, punishment of sin. Sanctification means freedom from the power, domination of sin. Freedom from that. And glorification means freedom from the presence, entity of sin. Justification happens when you are born again. The penalty of sin, Jesus took away. Sanctification happens through the process of baptism and a constant lifestyle in Christ, where you have freedom from the power of sin that dominates over you. Sometimes it breaks immediately, and sometimes it's a habitual sin that you overcome periodically. Glorification is usually associated with human death, where you are free from the presence of sin in your life. That's why the Bible uses the language, we are saved, we are being saved, and one day we will be completely saved. But faith is the fundamental requirement for baptism. Faith is so important. Without faith, your baptism is just a dip in the water. It is not baptism. The meaning of baptism is only when you have faith before you get baptized. Y'all are serious. Time for joke. One man, he was falling from the cliff. Dependence, the proof that you depend on God is not how much time you spend in prayer, but it is how much you obey. Your obedience is a proof of your dependence. One man was falling from a cliff. He hung on to the rope, and sliding on the rope, he came to the end of the rope, and he looked down, 30,000 feet down. He'll be smashed to smithereens if he falls. She's clinging onto the rope, looks up and shouts, "Oh God in heaven, save me, help me." This is a joke. God opened the heaven and said, "Son, leave the rope, I'll hold you." He looks down, 30,000 feet down, looks up and says, "Any other God, save me." The proof of your dependence on God is your faith, which is put into action, obedience. Many of us, when we pray and Jesus don't do what we want, then we want another God to answer us. The proof of our dependence on God is our obedience to God's word. Because faith is not only to be expressed in our thoughts and our feelings, but also in our words and exercised in our actions. Because baptism really is a burial and a resurrection. It is a finishing as well as a new beginning. It is the end of a dirty old life and the beginning of a new clean life with Christ. In the words of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, we have been buried with Jesus, been raised with Jesus to a new life and a new lifestyle. I like that. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Read from verse 1 onwards. Shall we sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. How can we who are baptized into Christ, baptized into Christ. You know, there are two words in English that we sometimes get confused with. Like and with. Like and with. Many people, when Christians they read the Bible, they get confused with the word like. We are baptized like Jesus died. In baptism, we go into the water. Like Jesus was buried, we go under the water. And like Jesus came out with resurrection, we come out from the water. No, you're wrong. We read the Bible carefully. It doesn't say like, it says with. That is powerful. It transcends the theory of relativity. It transcends time. 2,000 years after Jesus, when I go into the water, God doesn't say he is like Jesus dying. God says he's with Jesus' death. With Jesus' death. With Jesus' death. God says, I see Johnson with Jesus dying to the Adamic sin. Dying to the sinful nature. He's with Jesus. When I go under the water, God says, he's buried with Jesus. And when I come up out of the water, God says, he's coming up with my son, Jesus. It's powerful. We are identifying with the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 3, Apostle Paul puts it so beautifully. That's why baptism is such a powerful thing. Those who are already baptized, may the Holy Spirit help you remind the power of what you just went through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God looks at Jesus' death and looks at us,
God says, in baptism, when my son Jesus died, you died with him. You were buried with him. And when Jesus rose again, you rose again with him. That is what happened in your baptism in the eyes of God Almighty. Amen.
Two people, husband and wife, went to Singapore. Actually, they were going to America. So en route, they were going via Singapore. So husband and wife, they're standing at the counter because their flight, they had about 6 hours gap between the connecting flight. So they said, let's go into the, you know, Changi airport. Let's just go out, take a look and come back before the next flight. They're standing at the immigration. Officer takes the husband's passport, seals and says, you can go. Wife, no. She says, my husband, you allowed me. He had a visa. You don't have visa. No, but you allowed my, that we don't know. He had visa. You don't have. You tell Jesus, Lord, my uncle is the local bishop. He had visa. Where is yours? See, baptism unites you with Christ. Are you following this? If you don't want to be united with Christ, easy thing, don't be baptized. But baptism unites you with the most important thing in the eyes of God, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You are raised with Christ. Hallelujah. And no evil can touch you, no curse can touch you when you walk in that faith. Why? Because your bridegroom is watching over you. You're one with him. Amen. That the Bible says in the book of Galatians, you've put on Christ. You're wearing Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. One man was crossing the road and one lorry was coming really at a high speed. He waved his hand. Lorry didn't care. Honked louder and went. But this man came back in uniform. Seeing that fellow, only lorry stopped. Why? Because he was a traffic police. Once you wear the uniform, there's a different authority. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, you've put on Christ. Spiritually, one look at you and the spirit world knows you are one with Christ. There is a power in it. There is an anointing in it. When we are baptized, we are united with Jesus and we become one with him. And we are connected to the head called Christ. Naturally, we have to be connected to the body called the church. Baptism is a physical action with a spiritual effect. I'll say that again. Baptism is a natural, physical action with a spiritual effect. Now, this link between the natural and the supernatural can sometimes be dangerous. That's why God commanded the Israelites and us in the New Testament, don't touch idols, don't worship idols. It might look like wood or gold or silver or, you know, something unique, precious stone. But God says, don't touch it. Why? Because that natural act can connect you to wrong spiritual spirits, which is not from the God that you want to serve. But baptism is a natural action that connects you on a spiritual level with God Almighty. Amen. Am I helping anybody here? Why were you baptized? To join with Jesus. Hallelujah. But Pastor, nothing changed after baptism. Don't worry. Don't worry. After marriage, nothing changes suddenly. Changes happen slowly. For some people, very slowly. But the faster, the better. Some fellows, after marriage, we had to remind them, you're married, go. This happened many times in our church also. I had to once remind one man, you were married last year, remember? Oh, yes, yes, Pastor, yes. He actually forgot at that point. He was so caught up in something, he forgot he was married. Actually, marriage, long distance, family, somewhere else, some situation. And, you know, they were going through whatever. And because of whatever they were going through, they just forgot. Sometimes in our Christian life, we get so disassociated with the presence of God in our life. And sometimes it takes a Sunday to remind us, hey, you're not alone. Your master is with you. Your Christ is with you. Amen. This happens. You know, people sometimes forget their education. Sometimes they forget their name, their own name. suddenly they have a brain freeze. What did I eat last Sunday? I forgot. Happens to all of us. John Maxwell, who is a great leadership guru, who was once teaching on the importance of remembering. He was teaching in a pastor's conference. Importance of remembering. Remember what you preach. He was teaching pastors. He got into the car and he told his wife, "What a lovely sermon I preached today, huh? Pastors would have been blessed not to forget what you preached." She turned around and said, "Honey, but I was thinking, what did you preach last Sunday?" John Maxwell was a pastor of the Methodist Church at that time. And he said, "What did I preach last Sunday?" And both couldn't remember. Happens to human beings. Come on. Sometimes this is why we come back to God's word and remind ourselves, hey, I am connected eternally with Christ my Lord, and He is with me, and I'm not alone. Go ahead, give the Lord a big hand. Absolutely. Amen. There are two shadows in the Old Testament about this beautiful life that God has given us through the blessing of baptism. One shadow in the Old Testament is, now in the Old Testament it doesn't call it baptism, but in the New Testament the Bible says that was a shadow of baptism. Moses, when he and Israel crossed the Red Sea, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians that was Israel getting baptized, joining with Moses. In the New Testament, you and I join with Jesus. Second, the Bible uses the word Noah in the book of 1 Peter. The Bible says when Noah and his seven family members, a total of eight, when they went into the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter that was a symbolic, that was a shadow of baptism. So Noah, when he went into the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of the Covenant is also used for the temple ark, but this was a covenant God made with Noah and said, get into the ark, the whole world is going to be destroyed through the flood, but I will save you and your family. He went in with seven of his family members, totally eight, and the Bible says they were saved through baptism. So they were saved not only from destruction, but they were saved for the purpose of God, for the plan of God, for the will of God. So baptism is not only to separate from the world, but is to consecrate for God's purpose in our life. It's a shadow of why baptism happens. We have put on Christ. Our lives become more open to the Holy Spirit. I want to give you two closing notes and then we will close. One, children are dedicated in the Bible and not baptized in the Bible. Why? Because they have not believed yet. They are not grown up to believe. Only a believer is baptized. But pastor, when they grow up, they'll believe. No, then they should be baptized. Child marriage is not allowed in India now, no? Because they used to have that thinking. Children, get them married. When they grow up, they'll understand what they did. And government said, no, first they should understand, then only they should get married. God said this long back. God said, first they should understand, then only they should get baptized. They should believe, then be baptized. No, but my godfather believed, then he should be baptized. Who believes should be baptized. The only condition for baptism, Bible never says you should be a Christian. Oh, I'm a Catholic. You can be baptized. I'm a Protestant. You can be baptized. I'm a Pentecost. Difficult, but you can be baptized. You can be baptized. Anybody who is a believer, any age, whatever age, if you are a believer who believes in the word of God, who believes in Christ, you can be baptized. Amen. Pastor, now I want to join this church. Should I be baptized? If you are baptized anywhere, according to the Holy Bible, you don't have to be baptized again in any other church. Then to join this church, what to do? Fill the membership form. That's all. Fill the membership form and you can be baptized. Baptism is usually, when you study the Bible, baptism is done before you partake of the Lord's table. Before you partake of the Lord's table, baptism comes as a precedence. Number one, it is for those who believe. And lastly, it's for those who are preparing to partake of the Lord's table. Let's close our eyes as we pray together and say, Father, thank you for the teaching of your word today. Those of you who are already baptized, say, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm your child. I want to thank you that I belong to you. I want to thank you for your divine grace on my life. I thank you that your holy hand is upon me. Thank you for reminding me about what my baptism was. Those of you who are having members in your family who are not yet baptized, your friends, pray for them. Say, God, change those people. Touch those people. Transform those people. Give them an opportunity to experience your saving grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody take a few minutes to pray. Every foul spirit, every demonic bondage that comes against the obedience to the word of God, let it be bound in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Come on. Everyone pray for a few minutes and say, Lord, today we thank you because your word is coming with power and might. People are walking into deliverance in Jesus' name. People are walking into victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for the teaching of your word, that so many hearts are being touched, those who are already baptized, in that recognition of the powerful thing that has already happened in their life, and those who are not yet baptized, that conviction to be baptized and to belong to you. Thank you for the great blessing of being called your children. We love you, Master. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, Amen. Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.